From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues a message entitled The Cross, the Law, and Our Sanctification, part of this series of studies in the book of Joshua. Dr. Cairns will be with us shortly. First, please enjoy this brief devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook, by C.H. Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Conquest to Victory. The text is found in Romans chapter 16 and verse 20. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. This promise follows well upon that of yesterday. We are evidently to be conformed to our covenant head, not only in his being bruised in his heel, but in his conquest of the evil one. Even under our feet is the old dragon to be bruised. The Roman believers were grieved with strife in the church, but their God was the God of peace and gave them rest of soul. The arch enemy tripped up the feet of the unwary and deceived the hearts of the simple, but he was to get the worst of it and to be trodden down by those whom he had troubled. This victory would not come to the people of God through their own skill or power, but God himself would bruise Satan. Though it would be under their feet, yet the bruising would be of the Lord alone. Let us bravely tread upon the tempter. Not only inferior spirits, but the prince of darkness himself must go down before us. In unquestioning confidence in God, let us look for speedy victory. Shortly, happy word, shortly we shall set our foot upon the old serpent. What a joy to crush evil! What dishonor to Satan to have his head bruised by human feet! Let us, by faith in Jesus, tread the tempter down.
Uncertain, though the path we travel be unknown, our God has given an assurance. We can have peace, we can have joy, we can be strong. Secure within his hands. He is our joy, our hope of life eternal. He is the rock, the solid rock on which we stand. Even when I cannot see tomorrow, his word is like up unto my feet. And when the laughter turns to sorrow, in his embrace find His grace when we are weak. He is our strength. He is our fortress. We can be sure we are secure within His hands. He is our joy, our life eternal. He is the rock, the solid rock on which we stand. And when the storms of life surround me, and when the winds of sorrow blow, I will hold on to the rock of ages, for I know this one thing.
If anything is obvious in this modern society, it is that people are confused, frightened, and uncertain about the future. Where does one look for the solution to the universal problems of guilt, doubt, and temptation? A number of years ago, Dr. Alan Cairns produced a booklet entitled A New Beginning, which deals with such questions as, how may I have my sins forgiven and my guilt removed? How may I be sure that I possess eternal life and that I am not deluding myself? And how may I enjoy the Christian life and live above constant failure and frustration? Dr. Cairns answers these questions from the Word of God. A New Beginning is for inquirers into the nature of the Christian message of salvation and for Christians desiring to gain a good grasp of the first principles of the gospel. It is useful for both personal use and for group study and discussion. For a free copy of A New Beginning, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A New Beginning, and we'll be happy to provide it. From the text in Joshua chapter 8, verses 30 through 35, Dr. Cairns is demonstrating the vital relationship among three elements found on Mount Ebal: the law of God, the altar, and the ark, which symbolized the presence of God. Joshua was instructed to inscribe the Ten Commandments on the stones of the altar. That altar spoke of the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. Dr. Cairns is seeking to drive home the lesson that God's people have a duty to obey the law of God, for the cross of Christ does not abrogate the moral law. Indeed, as the New Testament makes clear, the cross actually establishes the law. This is an area which has caused much confusion among Christian people. Born-again Christians do not keep the law of God in order to be saved, but because they are saved. The regenerated heart delights in God's law. Now, to continue this message, the cross, the law, and our sanctification, here is Dr. Cairns.
It's God's purpose that we keep God's law. Now, let's understand this. Christians either keep God's law or they break God's law. You can't live without either keeping it or breaking it. So what do you do? What's right? To keep it or to break it? There's no place in between. It's God's purpose that they keep it. And furthermore, it's God's purpose in saving us to enable us to keep it. Because Paul writes in Romans chapter 8, you remember that great chapter that starts, "There's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus"? Well, verse 4 gives you the purpose. Christ has freed us from condemnation. Why? In order that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us. Now, if it finished there, you could say, well, that's just speaking of our justification. The righteousness of the law is fulfilled in us because we're justified and the law witnesses to it. But then it goes on. And it says, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. That's sanctification. That's Christian living. Notice how he defines walking in the Spirit. What is it to walk in the Spirit? It is to walk in such a way that the righteousness of the law of God is fulfilled in you. I think it was Oswald Chambers who said something to the effect, I'm very close to a verbatim quotation, if not quite, that it is obedience, not ecstasies, that marks true Christianity. So many people think walking in the Spirit is walking with all these strange, spine-chilling feelings. I've seen people who say they're walking in the Spirit and doing this and doing that and doing the other thing in the Spirit, and all the time they're breaking the law of God. I could name you tele-evangelists who are supposedly speaking in tongues in the Spirit and healing people because of the power of the Spirit. But they're living in adultery. I hear them, and even as they talk, they take the name of God in vain. They're in the Spirit. The only Spirit that they're in is certainly not the Spirit of God. Because walking in the Spirit is fulfilling the moral law of God. Let's not forget it. That's God's purpose. And it's not only God's purpose, but it is the delight of any truly Christian heart. Paul says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. And he's confessing, there are times when I don't fulfill the law of God. There are times when I break the law of God. There are times when my conscience is convicted. There are times when I have to cry out, O wretched man that I am. But even then, in my heart, I delight in God's law. The only delight I have is the delight of Christ-like obedience. It's the delight of a Christian's heart. The psalmist said, and of course this is a great messianic statement, for the New Testament puts these words directly into the mouth of our beloved Savior. But the psalmist first gave it as his own testimony in Psalm 40, verse 8. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Let me tell you, these people who tell you, no, we have no obligation to the law. We can still do the will of God. You cannot do the will of God without obeying the law of God. I delight to do thy will, for thy law is within my heart. Where should the law of God be? In the heart. Spurgeon had a great statement commenting on the 37th Psalm. He said of the law of God, on the back it burdens, in the mind it puzzles, but in the heart it delights. Thy law is within my heart. It's my delight to do the will of God. Philip Doddridge, the old hymn writer, said, my gracious Lord, I own thy right to every service I can pay, and call it my supreme delight to hear thy dictates and obey. God's people should obey God's law. But, second, God's people must use God's law in the light of the cross. They must use God's law in the light of the cross. As the children of Israel stepped into Canaan and started living out their inheritance, they learned that they must never view the law apart from the altar. That scene at Mount Ebal and Mount Gerizim was forever emblazoned on their memory. They must never look at the law apart from the altar. That's an equally vital lesson for Christians to learn. One that so many find hard to take in. I have noted that some people adopt antinomianism. But then there are others who become legalists. I'll come back to that in a moment. Antinomians abrogate the law for Christian living. Legalists abrogate the cross for Christian living. Follow me carefully here. There are people who say, I'm saved by the cross, I owe nothing to the law. And they normally live that way. We have a very large group of Christians in Northern Ireland. Some very good and godly people there. But their official theology has been antinomian since their inception. And man, does it tell. I have come across businessmen who would not do business with one of their people. He'd rather do business with a heathen. Because they're worse than Jesuits. In business. Antinomianism at work. Their young people have been scandalized by wicked living, fornication, adultery, ungodliness, uncleanness. You keep teaching a person long enough, you owe nothing to the law of God, and don't be surprised when they start living as if they owed nothing to the law of God. They abrogated the law from Christian living. But then there are legalists. And they set about keeping the law as if there were no cross. They live under the awful burden of the law. They live as if by their obedience they had to procure the love of God. By their obedience they had to procure their acceptance with God. It's all just one long, interminable struggle. And then, in many parts of American fundamentalism, you've got the people who try to do both. And I get very sorry for these people. I have met people since I came to the United States, and on the one hand, they've been taught, they've been brought up in dispensational churches, and they've been taught that they owe nothing to the law. They're antinomian. But yet, on the other hand, They're not taught the glorious role of the cross in Christian living. They're not told anything about the power of faith in the blood of Christ for Christian living. This is the strange thing. In these churches that I'm talking about now, the people are taught, on the one hand, theoretically, you're antinomian. On the other hand, they are always being taught duty, 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 guilt, burden, more guilt and more burden, and the poor man in the pew sitting in between, and he's getting it from all sides. For they have abrogated both law and gospel in the actual living out of the Christian life, so that in many of our churches you have people by the thousand who are sitting there wondering, how do I do the will of God? When you start preaching the will of God divorced from the law of God, and the will of God divorced from the inner power of the redemptive work of Christ, people come under guilt. And you have Christians who are spiritual cripples who cannot live the Christian life. Why? Because they have failed to use the law in the light of the cross. There is a proper use of the law for Christian. Paul says in 1 Timothy 1 verse 8, we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully. What is the lawful use of the law? Let me put it this way. The only lawful use of the law is to employ it in the light of the cross. The only lawful use of the law is to employ it in the light of the cross. What does that mean? Well, I'll sum it up. It means, first of all, do not use the law as a means of justification. Don't try to get saved by keeping the law, because salvation is not by your law keeping, it's by Christ's. Galatians 2:16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So the first lawful use of the law is, don't use it as a means of justification. Second, and this is very vital, especially in our fundamental churches, do not use the law to rob believers of the comfort of the work of the cross. Do not use the law to rob believers of the comfort of the work of the cross. That's what the Judaizers were doing in the early church. Acts 15:1, certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren. Now these were already Christians. They had trusted Christ. They had come to the cross. They had known the cleansing of the blood. But the Judaizers came and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you can't be saved. Christ plus something else. They were using the law to rob these people of the comfort of Calvary. Paul spoke of them in Galatians 2:4. False brethren, unawares, brought in. He says, they came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. What was his answer? His answer was, I through the law. Verse 19 of Galatians 2. I through the law, that is legally, I am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am dead. Now what is he saying? He says, as far as the law is concerned, the sentence of death has been carried out on me because I was in Christ when Christ died. The law has carried out its sentence on me. The price is paid. The penalty has been met. That's the comfort of the cross. Never forget it. That's the glory of the finished work of Christ. Don't let anybody use the law of God or anything else to take away your comfort as a believer in the finished work of Jesus Christ. For we are not under the law. The law does not lie upon God's people as a burden and as a condemnation. We are not under law. We are under grace. And then it means to use the law lawfully, to use it in the light of the cross, means that we should see that our relationship to the law is established by the cross. Listen, because of the cross, do you remember we pointed this out last Sabbath morning? The law acquits us. It does not condemn us. Because of the cross, the law is no longer our prosecutor. The law is our defender. Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.